From Chicago, this is the Rain Report for the week beginning Saturday, March 26, 2005. I'm Rick Johnson, KA9 Visa D. This week, we conclude our interview with 2005 Dayton Hamvention Radio Amateur of the Year, Alan Call, W6RCL. When we left you last week, Alan had just finished talking about his career as a broadcast journalist and the way in which amateur radio impacted his career. Now, in part two, we talk with Alan about ham radio and the mass media. And a good place to begin is with the television documentary Ham Radio in Space, as Al explains how he came to work on that project.
I got involved in the first place because a guy named Roy Neal, K6DUE, who was my NBC News colleague at the Burbank Bureau, asked for some help working on a ham radio video. He had this idea about the first ham in space, Owen Gary at W5LFL, and doing something that we could show to ham radio clubs and show around the country that really told the story of that first mission. And I really got my teeth into it. I thought we should do something that would be 28 minutes and 30 seconds or so in length, so it could run on a broadcast, on a television channel or a cable channel, something that would have all the production values of those television-type shows that preceded it, the series produced by Dave Bell beforehand, moving up to amateur radio, etc., and that would also have all the production values that we could bring to it as journalists from NBC News with whatever bells and whistles and toys we could wrangle from NASA to put aboard the spacecraft to shoot that end of the event. Well, we worked very hard with an editor at CBS named Frosty Oden, N6ENV. Bill Pasternak, WA6ITF, was there for all the edit sessions. Roy Neal. Joining us in the edit room was Peter Odell from the ARRL in Connecticut. We sat in the edit room for about a week, grinding it out, changing the script, making the video fit. We had a huge volunteer complement from around the country that really made that show work. Hams in places like Washington State and Montana and Rhode Island and literally all over the country contacted their local television stations or in some cases used their own home video and took pictures of other hams trying to work Owen Garriott in the show. And they got copies of these tapes, and Bill Pasternak, God bless him, arranged for television stations from coast to coast and also from a few places overseas to send in the tapes of people trying to contact the space shuttle. Dave Bell happened to be shooting something in Europe and arranged to go to Jordan to be in the amateur radio operating room of JY1 at the Royal Palace and got King Hussein talking to Owen Gary on video, and all of this stuff really made that show. We were able to put all these people together in context, and Roy and I wrote the script, and we cut as we went along. We edited picture, laid narration to it, added sound effects, etc., 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 and made a really interesting half-hour program on ham radio in space. And I don't think there's anything that we left out of that. I think we had it covered 42 ways to Sunday. That was such a horrendous effort and required so much time and effort that after that I laid off ham radio videos for a little while. I came to the conclusion when I came back from overseas, I came to the conclusion that half-hour or hour-length programs about ham radio probably weren't feasible and people probably wouldn't watch them anyway, because by then the viewing habits of the American public had changed almost to the magazine format, where you can pick up a TV show and you can watch three or four really well-produced pieces, and the total time might be a half hour for all three or four pieces, or it might be 5 minutes, 7 minutes, 8 minutes, 10 minutes, a chunk. And it seemed to me that this was the future of videos for ham radio, that instead of doing the documentary that would premiere to a big audience or the program that would run on television, you would be doing these little things. They could run on the Internet. And that's exactly what happened. The first one we did was Amateur Radio Today, and it ran about 5 minutes in length, 6 minutes with credits, et cetera, et cetera. And it appeared in its debut format on the ARRL website. Well, that was followed by a 3-minute piece on broadband over power line. What exactly are we talking about? Here's a little show that explains very simply, very easily, all the problems associated with BPL, and there's nothing quite like being able to see it. That program also aired on the ARRL website.
Anything else on the video horizon?
We're working on a third one right now about the lobbying efforts and what goes on Capitol Hill when the ARRL goes to Washington. personally, there's a couple more that I'd like to do. I want to do one about CW. I like CW. I'm not very good at CW, but I think it would make a cute 3 or 4 or 5 minute video that could run on a website. I'd like to do one about audio. I have a friend, Bob Heil, K9EID, who has done really remarkable things with audio, and I'd like to do a piece about Bob Heil's efforts. I'd certainly try not to make it very commercial, but there is an awful lot of audio improvement that can be made, and Bob is a pioneer in that field. In that sense, he's following in the footsteps of the Tinkerers, the Armstrongs, and the Sarnoffs, the guys that really brought radio throughout the last 100 years.
Alan, peer into the future for us. What do you see for the hobby?
The future is so hard to predict that it's really difficult for me to see where ham radio is going. In fact, my entire life, my entire career in journalism has been as a historian. I like to think of what I do as history on the installment plan. 2 minutes here, 3 minutes there, this week, last week, the year before, etc., etc. I look at ham radio and wonder about the future myself. I don't know where we're going, and I don't know how we're going to get there. I want to think that we're going to get there in some orderly fashion. I think that the Internet may play a bigger part. I think, for example, there's no reason that with the large number of people that use the Internet to do some of their amateur radio activities, such as IRLP and things like that, there's no reason, for example, that somebody can't come up with an idea to have an IRLP contest on the weekend that coincides with the ARRLDX contest. I mean, can you imagine having 100,000 amateur radio operators with technician class licenses and no privileges to work skip on HF phone being on IRLP and trying to compete in a contest format, using the Internet for part of it and 2 meters perhaps for part of it, and having a great time? The sky's the limit. I don't know where we're going. I don't know how we're going to get there, but I'm just optimistic that we're going somewhere and we're all going to be along for the ride.
Wrapping it all up in 2 minutes or less, what final thoughts do you have to share for those listening?
Let me say to everyone out there who has a compromised radio or a compromised antenna or attempts to operate under less than, shall we say, ideal conditions with antennas that are 200 feet high with 6 over 6 over 6 stacks, etc. Ham radio is all about having fun. And I'm sure the big guys with all the equipment and all the money in the world to spend on it have a great time. But there's a lot of people at the other end of the expense and spending spectrum that enjoy ham radio just as much, if not more. Think of the challenge to run 5 watts and work somebody 10,000 miles away. Or think of the challenge of running a stealth antenna in a neighborhood that prevents you from having anything so obvious as a vertical or a Yagi. Think of the challenge of using an antenna like that and still being able to practice your hobby, practice your avocation, practice your art or your science of radio. It's really terrific, and the sky's the limit, and it would be terrific if we could all have everything we always wanted. But ham radio is often about compromise. I mean, that's why we are hams. A lot of us work on our own equipment. We build antennas, we build radios. We do things, shall we say, less expensively and outside the realm of buying appliances, for example. And, you know, it's fun. We're tinkerers, and we are the people that began not only the hobby, but the entire field of radio and television communications back 100 years ago. So it's a proud history to look back on, and the future offers so much more.
Thanks, Alan. And once again, congratulations on your being named 2005 Dayton Hamvention Radio Amateur of the Year. You have been listening to an interview with Alan Call, W6RCL newsman, television producer, and 2005 Radio Amateur of the Year. Alan, along with Special Achievement Award recipient D. Barodi Prasad, VU2RBI, and Technical Excellent Award winner Jerry Sevick, W2FMI, will receive their accolades the weekend of May 21st at the Dayton Hamvention. Rain will be there, and we hope that you will stop by the Rain booth to say hello. If you missed part one of our interview with Alan, you'll find it on the Last Week link on rainreport.com until we post the new Rain Report next weekend. Audio bandwidth underwritten by CQ Communications. Rain founder-producer Hap Holly, KC9RP, will be making a rare appearance April 2nd in Milwaukee. Details coming up after station ID. This is the Rain Report.
You're listening to RainReport.com, the only authorized internet source for rain audio.
Hap Holly, KC9RP, Rain founder and producer, will deliver a 45-minute talk entitled The Net Difference, Saturday, April 2nd at 11:30 a.m. during Superfest, the annual Hamfest sponsored by Amateur Electronics Supply, 5710 West Good Hope Road in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Holly will draw upon his years of net experience to pass along some valuable insights and how-tos about turning your ho-hum repeater or simplex net into a showcase for hams and scanner listeners. Holly has been an active licensed ham operator since 1965. His net activity began in the late 60s as a regular net control station for the West Coast amateur radio service WestCars from his folks' home in Escondido, California. After finishing college and getting settled in suburban Chicago in the mid-1970s, he was a regular NCS on the 20-meter intercontinental traffic net for some years from his Des Plaines home, where he still resides today. In 1984, this blind radio amateur became net coordinator for what would become the most popular and most widely heard regional repeater net in Chicago history. Dubbed the Bear Information Service, this groundbreaking 2-meter net was sponsored by the Schaumburg-based Broadcast Employees Amateur Repeater. This weekly infonet grew to average over 90 check-ins each Wednesday night by the end of the decade, with the linking of two outlying repeaters on two on 220, and two more on 440. Recipient of the 2002 Dayton Radio Amateur of the Year plaque, Holly has been producing ham radio programming since the mid-1980s. Today, his rain reports are heard on repeaters worldwide and on demand from www.rainreport.com by thousands of ham radio enthusiasts weekly. For more information about Superfest, see the AES website at aesham.com. To read more about Hap Holly, see the link off rainreport.com to a lengthy article Dave Miller, NZ9E, wrote about him in the March 1996 edition of 73 Magazine. Well, that's a wrap on this edition of the Rain Report. Copyright 2005, Rain, all rights reserved. I'm Rick Johnson, KA9 Visa D, bidding you very 73 from all of us at Rain, the Radio Amateur Information Network.